Amen, amen. I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we would use as the foundation for the word that Yahweh has deposited in my spirit and given me liberty to share in your spirit this morning. The first is our collateral passage, and it's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then our preaching passage will come from Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. I don't know if it's on the screen, but when you have it, let me hear you say amen. 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 If you don't, say wait for me. Okay, I believe we all have it. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. Let's read together. I'm going to be reading, or at least citing from the King James Version of the Bible. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. And it begins, all power. And Jesus said, okay, somebody's in the book. And Jesus, let's go, let's read together. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? And of the what? And of the what? Holy Ghost. Teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. And what? Lo, I will what? Be with you always, even what? Unto the end of the world. Now let's go to Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Titus chapter 1, Paul's letter to his spiritual son, Titus. Chapter 1 and verse number 5. Do you have it?
Amen.
Amen. Titus 1 verse 5. And it reads, for this cause left I thee where? In Crete, that thou shouldest what? Set in order those things that are what? Wanting. And do what? And ordain elders in every what city as I have what appointed thee. For this cause left I thee in Crete, thou shouldest set in order those things which are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Yeshua, whom we call Jesus, must be lifted up. For Yeshua said, and if I be lifted up, I, Yeshua, will draw men or women, all boys and all girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again today. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Yeshua be honored. May Yeshua be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For the time that is allotted to us this morning to share in the Word, I want to talk with us on the topic, a divine assignment in an uncomfortable place. A divine assignment in an uncomfortable place. For the last several weeks, we have been trying to teach and preach and encourage the church to personal and collective discipleship. Our theme for this year is transformation and devotion in 2021. And this theme encourages us to employ ourselves into the service of the kingdom of Yahweh, to serve him as his disciples and as disciple makers. And so for the last several weeks, we've been preaching messages that tout the necessity for disciple making. And today we want to continue in that vein as we talk about a divine assignment in an uncomfortable place. Beloved, the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, found in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with the 18th through the 20th verses, is a call to come out of one's comfort zone and to embrace and accept the assignment of God to a place and to people that we may not necessarily be fond of. This call to discipleship and this assignment, beloved, is not a new one. It is an age-old call of Yahweh upon all humanity to serve as ambassadors and as disciple makers, conduit of his divine grace and unfathomable mercy to fallen humanity. I wish somebody was listening to me. We see this, Sister Adams, first in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. When Yahweh calls the man Noah and give him an assignment to build a boat, to build an ark of gopher wood in anticipation of a coming rain, a coming flood, a flood, rain, a phenomenon in nature that has never been or was not known to the then known world. Yet, the Bible tells us that Noah was obedient and submitted to the assignment and built the boat. And because of his obedience, 8 people, including himself, were saved from this flood. We see that again in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse 1, when God calls a man called Abram out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees and assigns him to go to a place and a people that he knew not. He said, come out of your father's house, forsake your inheritances, and go to a land that I will tell you, and though Abram did not know the place and the people to whom he was being sent. The Bible tells us that Abram obeyed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for faith. Is anybody listening to me? When we see this call again in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, in this universal ad or help wanted ad, where Yahweh declares, who will go for us? And whom shall I send? And the prophet Isaiah, not knowing the risk and the danger to the place to which he was to be sent, without hesitancy, shouted, here am I, O Lord, send me. My brothers and sisters, I want to propose this morning that the call of God on each of our lives, especially those of us who claim to be bought and redeemed by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua Jesus, the Anointed One, it behooves us, and it's commanded unto all of us, to come out of our comfort zone and to submit, to commit to and engage the assignment of God to fallen humanity. We are being called, beloved, not just to be saved by ourselves, but to be a conduit, to be spokesmen and spokeswomen, to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God, to let men and women in this world of sin know that there is a Redeemer, that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. We have been called to go in uncomfortable places and tell people that we may not necessarily like, that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Is anybody listening to me? And this is the assignment that we see in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. In this passage, beloved, Paul, the apostle of God and of Jesus Christ, the great church organizer, calls on one of his spiritual sons and assigns him by the prompting of the Holy Ghost to a place called Crete. Now, this assignment, beloved, was not one of any small proportion. Paul was blessed to have had several spiritual sons, several mentees, a few included Timothy, Titus, and Paul writes this letter to Titus, imploring Titus and assigning Titus to this place called Crete to serve as a disciple maker, to serve as a minister of the gospel for this cause. Paul says, let I be in Crete, that thou shouldest bring into order those things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Oh, beloved, Titus had to engage himself unequivocally in this assignment in Crete. Titus had to go on this assignment, although he was a young preacher. Paul had called him at the behest and the directives of the Holy Ghost and given Titus this assignment. And may I declare to you today, my friends, that this assignment in an uncomfortable place is not just to Titus, but it is to every blood-bought believer. All of us are called, not necessarily to a place where we are comfortable, to a people that we are comfortable being around, but we are called to leave our places of comfort and to take our duty station and our assignment in a place that is not necessarily comfortable to us. I called you to take a walk with me this morning in the teachings of our text found in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. And there, Elandre, we will see five important features in this divine assignment to Crete that will help encourage us and cause us to take our assignment seriously, regardless of how unfriendly and uncomfortable the place to which we are called may be. The first important feature that we see in this divine assignment of Titus to Crete is that this assignment is a purpose-driven assignment. Turn to your pew partner and say, it is purpose-driven. Paul begins by saying, for this cause. I'm so glad today, beloved, that the God that I serve does not do anything without a cause. That my God is very intentional about everything that he does, and that everything that Yahweh does has a purpose. We may not understand it. We may not agree with it. It may not even make sense to us. But I want you to know that there is a cause for every assignment that God has on your life. On your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is a cause. Didn't he say in Isaiah 55 and verse number 8, my thoughts, oh bless his name, are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. God may not make sense to you, and he may not make sense to me, but I want you to know today, my brothers and sisters, that God has a purpose, a divine purpose, for your life and for my life. And the assignments that God makes on our lives are assignments with a cause, assignment with a purpose. For this cause, Paul says, I left thee in Crete. This brings us to the second important feature in this divine assignment to Crete, and that is a particular place. Somebody say a particular place. Here it is. Titus chapter 1, verse 1a, the first part of verse 1, the first clause. For this cause I let thee in Crete. Oh, beloved, this assignment was to a particular place. Oh, no, no, this assignment was not in Jerusalem, the citadel of hope. And the custodian to Israel's noble religious relics. This assignment was not in Judea. The exurb of Jerusalem that boasts the apprenticeship to the overflow of Israel's religiosity. No, no, no. This assignment was not even in Rome, the site of the imperial seat of government and the beachhead of the empire's academic and political power. No, no, no. This assignment was in a particular place. It was in Crete. Somebody say Crete. Crete was not a place that would be hospitable and friendly to evangelism and to disciple making. You see, beloved, Crete was one of the Greek islands. It was about 60 miles south of Greece. And although it was a smaller island than Greece, it was the biggest of the Greek islands, found smack dab center in the Mediterranean Sea. Crete was a port city, and it was the hub for all of the marine traffic from around the world. You will only appreciate the danger and the difficulty of doing ministry in Crete if you knew anything about a port city. See, I was blessed and given the awesome responsibility to serve in a port city for about 10 years. This port city is called New Orleans, or the Big Easy. And one thing that you will know about Port City is it is famous for transitory inhabitants. Port City is a place that attracts people from all over the world who have no real stake in the welfare of the city. They come in and they are there for 2 or 3 days, and then as if they were never there, they are gone. A port city attracts those who come with all kinds of debauched lifestyle, or all kinds of illicit transactions. They are not committed to the city or the local people. There is no consequences to their action because they're there they are gone. They do their dastardly deeds. They transact in their wanton debauchery, their illicit acts. And when they leave the residue and the consequences of their immoralities on that sea. I wish somebody was listening to me. It is a place like Vegas where they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because people are not held accountable for their actions and its consequences in port cities because they are not there for a long time. They come in there and hang out on Bourbon Street, I mean in Crete. And when they leave the cloud of their illicit behavior upon that city. It was not a city for a preacher, let alone a young and upcoming preacher. Oh, beloved, but this was the place that Titus was assigned. He was assigned in Crete. The pundits and the commentators of their day referred to Crete as a place, and the people, the Cretans, were referred to as gluttonous pigs. They were referred to as brute beasts and liars, not because of the local people, but because of the influx of people from everywhere that came with their strange desires. They came with their plans to do their dirty in Crete and then wash their hands and get back on the ship and go back to where they came from like nothing had happened. And this is where Titus was assigned. And I want you to know today, beloved, that we are living in a Cretan season. We are living in a Crete-like atmosphere. Our world is like Crete. It is an unfriendly place. It is a dangerous place. It is a place of debauchery. A place of lasciviousness. It is a place where the gospel is not welcome, but I want you to know today that there are people in Crete that need to hear the joyful sound that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And so we cannot all go to Jerusalem. We cannot all go to Judea. That's why our Lord was clear in his assignment when he said, "And ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria." And here comes Crete, the outermost part of the earth. Oh, beloved, you may not be comfortable in Crete. You may not like the people in Crete. You may not care too much about what happens in Crete. But I want you to know that you and I have a brother in Crete and a sister in Crete and a cousin in Crete and a co-worker in Crete. And listening to me by way of Facebook and YouTube or wherever you may be when you hear this message, that God is giving you an assignment in an uncomfortable place. You have to engage that assignment. You have to commit to that assignment. You have to take your place of duty to that assignment, wherever it may be, and how uncomfortable you may be. If you call yourself a child of God, somebody shout hallelujah. We're all called, beloved, to do duty in Crete, an uncomfortable place. And so we come to our third important feature in this divine assignment. The first is, it is a purpose-driven assignment. The second is, it is in a particular place. And the third, I'm so glad that even though Paul had called Titus and given him this assignment with a purpose, he didn't just leave Titus to guess what the purpose entailed. But Paul, here comes number three, had a plan of action. Or what, everybody? A plan of action. I'm in the text. If you look at Titus chapter number 1 and verse 5b, Paul says, do what? Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete and ordain elders in every city. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's the plan of action. Paul was saying to Titus, I'm not just sending you to Crete to look at the people and talk about how terrible they are. I'm not sending you to Crete, Titus, to complain about how difficult it is to do ministry in Crete. I'm not sending you to Crete to complain about who's not helping you and who's talking about you and what they're doing or not doing. I have a plan of action, and the plan of action is set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. In other words, Titus, I want you to go to Crete and don't leave until the things that Crete needs in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that are not in Crete, you make sure that Crete gets it before you leave. I wish somebody were here. Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. In other words, Titus, don't leave Crete, Elder Proche, the way you met Crete. When you get to Crete, I want you to let the Cretans know that God is still in the saving business. Hallelujah. When you get to Crete, Titus, as bad, as ugly, as uncomfortable, and unfriendly, and dangerous as Crete is, I want you to let the Cretans know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, no matter what they've done, who they've done it with, how long they've done it, where they've done it, with whom they've done it, they can be saved if they believe. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. That is the message, Dr. Miller, that Yahweh is giving us to share in Crete. that Jesus is still in the saving business. Oh, beloved, we need to let the Cretans know that no matter how terrible their lifestyles have been, no matter how much or how many mistakes they have made in their life, oh, bless his name, that God can take their sins and bury it in the sea of forgiveness, never to come back to confront them, that Jesus died that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. But not only that, I believe Paul wanted Titus to let the men and the fathers and the husbands in Crete know that they are the priests and the providers and the protectors of their homes. Set in order of those things that are wanting. I believe Titus, God, Paul wanted Titus to let the men in Crete know that they cannot embrace the myth, the lie from the pit of hell that women and girls were created to serve their deviant sexual desires. Amen. Paul was telling Titus, let the men in Crete know that they need to mentor their young boys and groom them into being responsible men. You're not listening to me. Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. I believe that Paul wanted Titus to let the Cretans know that you cannot abuse your women. You cannot push them around and beat them around. You cannot abuse them mentally and physically with your words and with your action. I wish somebody was listening to me. Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. I believe that Paul wanted Titus to not leave Crete until every man, every woman, every human being in Crete will recognize and accept and actuate the fact that all men are created equal and that are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that all life matter, including black lives. I wish somebody would hear. Set in order those things that are wanting. I believe, as difficult as it is to say in this politically polarized society, Paul wanted Titus to not leave Crete until the Justice Department and the Police Department knows that they cannot keep killing and shooting our young black men and women when they are running from them. Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. And I'm not just going to stop at the police and the Justice Department and the district attorney and all of these people. I want to come in our black community. Paul is saying, Titus, don't you leave Crete until the black on black crime that is causing young black men and women to lose their lives at the hand of other black men and women is eradicated and brought to an end. Set it. just that Jesus loves us, but that Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We cannot shove everything else under the rug and tell people that Jesus loves them. We gotta tell them that Jesus wants you to get a job. We gotta tell them that Jesus wants you to be responsible. Stop buying stuff that you want and begging for stuff that you need. Set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. And then the last and fourth important feature of this assignment in an uncomfortable place, this divine assignment in Crete, is a position of authority. Everybody see a position of authority. We find that in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5c, the last part, he says, as I, oh bless his name, have appointed thee. In other words, you cannot go to Crete, Sister McCarter, ambivalent about your authority. See, the reason most of us are not making a change in Crete is because we do not believe that we have been appointed. We do not believe that we carry the authority of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the anointed one. He said, and ye shall receive authority after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He says, all power, not some, not most, but all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and I am conferring this power upon you. That's why Paul said to Timothy, don't let no man or woman despise your youth. It doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are. When God commissions you, when God assigns you, he gives you authority, he gives you power, and you can't walk with a weak back because you are scared what people are going to think and what people are going to say. You can be nipsy pimpsy. You got to stand up like a real man and a real woman with the authority of God on your life and call sin by its right name and speak truth to power. It doesn't matter whether it is Biden or Trump, you gotta tell them. It doesn't matter whether it is Democrat or Republican, you gotta tell them that sin in the sight of God is sin. It does not matter who does it. Is anybody listening to me? For this cause, let I thee increase. Thou shouldest set in order those things that are wanting and ordain elders. Here's that part. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I missed that second part, the plan of action. He said, ordain elders. Do you know what that means? The elders were the leaders. They were the decision makers. Oh, bless God. Paul was saying to Titus, don't just feed people in Crete. Teach them how to fish so they can feed themselves. In other words, don't just show them how to live right. Show them how to be leaders so that they can show other people how to live right. Ordain elders. You know, today we have a problem with empowering people, because especially in the church, Elder Landry, because we are scared that they will take the light off us. And so we want to do everything by ourselves. We want everybody else. itch in our seat, you know exactly what that means. But Paul is saying to Titus, don't just go there and create workers. He said, create managers, create leaders, create directors. And a church of the living God is a poor church that has a pastor and elders that are scared to empower other people to lead. You're not listening to me. That's why in the Berean church, we don't look at how old you are or how young you are. We empower our young people. We empower people to be leaders because they can. You know, we have one little saying here that you always hear me repeat. No one monkey stops the show, even if that monkey is called T-Ron Wegar. Because if God can do it through me, he can do it through you and you and you. There is no secret. What God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. Paul is saying to Titus, empower the people. Empower Raquel and Mark Matt Carter. And let them lead because they have the potential. Empower Breon Fontenet and let her lead. She can empower Manuska Glacius de God. Oh God, I got it right now. Empower. And then teach McCarter to empower others. And teach Breon to empower. Teach Landry to empower. Empower. Can you imagine if we had so many empowerers and empowered people in the church? There would be no seat, no space, no place, because the kingdom of God grows on exponential value. He said, don't leave Crete. Talk about nobody was qualified to be an elder. If you were qualified, they can be qualified too. Don't leave Crete and talk about nobody else can do this job. So one person is stuck doing it for 20 years. I'm so glad that as I read the Bible, God keeps opening my mind. That's why this book, you know, we can never exhaust it. Because every time you read it, you find something new. And we're living in a new season, beloved. We're in a new age. COVID-19 has not rocked the boat. It has flipped the boat over. And this church is not the church you used to know. We can never do business again as usual. We are in a Cretan season. And we got to do things different. We got to be more committed. We got to be willing to give up of our time, of ourselves. You know, there used to be the time that we put ourselves first and all the things that we desire, and then we give the leftover to God. The time has come that we put Yahweh first and everything he desires. Then he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wake up, Berean. Where's my usher team? Where's my deacons? Where are my elders? Where's my praise team? Where is my women's ministry and men's ministry? Where are my children ministry? Where are my singles ministry? Oh, beloved, God is calling us to get passionate and committed because we are in a Cretan season, and we have to set in order those things that are wanting in Crete. Yeshua loves them. Tell them that he died to save them. Tell them that he can empower them. Tell them that he is their peace, their power, their provision. He is their protector. Tell them this is a purpose-driven assignment. This is an assignment to a particular place. No, it's not in Dallas. No, it's not in New Orleans. No, it's not in Washington, D.C. or New York. It's right here in Baton Rouge, in the metropolis of Baton Rouge. We have over 750 million people in this city, and we just reach 100%. We will not have space in this church. Oh, do you see how quiet you've got? Oh, Pastor Wigard, you're meddling now. You stop preaching. We need to get a word, beloved. And we need to get to work now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And so, the four things that we see, the four features of this call and assignment to an uncomfortable place, is it is an assignment that is purpose-driven. It is an assignment to a particular place. It is an assignment with a plan of action. And it is an assignment of a position of authority, a position of power. And when we are committed to the assignment, though uncomfortable it may be, I want you to know that souls will be saved, sinners will be delivered, and restoration will come, and people will be redeemed. Do you know why? Because living, he loved them, and dying, he saved them, and burying, he carried them. Saints far away, and rising, he justified them, freed them forever. And one day, one day, one day he's coming back up. Glorious day. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forevermore of his saving grace. On the streets of glory. There to raise my voice. All my cares are past. Home at last. Ever to rejoice. I've got my mind made up. And I will be committed to the assignment. I will stay in great until those things that are wanting are set in order, because I want to see my Jesus one day. Are you committed? Do you want the assignment? Are you unequivocal about it? Get up on your feet and help me praise God. We will follow him. We will stay with him. Work for him, and we will turn free upside down for the cause of Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. And won't he empower us? Yes, he will. Won't he resource us? Yes, he will. Won't he protect us? Yes, he will. Won't he lead us? Yes, he will. And won't he come back to get us one day? Yes, 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 he will. Somebody shout yes. Say yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Yahweh, we bless you today. We thank you, God, for this assignment in Crete. Although it may be an uncomfortable place, and this may be an unfriendly season, we have heard your word. We have accepted the call and the assignment to Crete. We are committed. We are unequivocal about our engagement in Crete. So Yahweh, give us the power. Give us the resources. And give us staying power until Crete is changed in Yeshua's name.